I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ah, hello there, dear listener. It's me, Joe. I notice you've tuned in once again to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. Just remember, we dish out double the content over on our Patreon, patreon.com/guitarnerds. Go on, you'll love it. You'll pay your monthly fee and I will literally roll around in your hard-earned cash, probably wearing something provocative. Jay's not going to like this advert at all.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Joe Brandon, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Hello there.
Jay Cross.
Oh, hello there.
And Matthew Knight.
Hello there.
Is that how I normally do the... I did the intro wrong. I forgot what I was doing.
Well, it was good.
Okay. I didn't say the world's number one guitar podcast.
Start again.
Hello
and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Jay Cross.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine if you were.
How disjointed would this podcast be if I was the host?
It's disjointed enough with you on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a full team, which is a lovely
thing. The world's number one guitar shop podcast.
That is. Oh, those were the days. Those were the good old days.
Sure.
Back when we were the GAC podcast. Listeners, if you're new to the Guitar Nerds podcast...
Nobody is new.
If you've been listening...
The five people who listened then, listen now, and nobody else.
Go back. It's so rubbish. It was so slow.
And we were pissed all the time.
That's true.
I was often drunk.
Yes, we were often drunk. Whereas now we are always sober. The spirit of soberness. Anyway, this week on the Guitar Nerds podcast, we're going to try and get through a chunk of news. And we had some cool, fun things in our mailbag this week. But first of all, I think I was bidding on this last week, but I have won a 1977 Fender Music Master bass. Yes!
Best basses ever.
Oh, so good. Do you know what? I think I prefer the Music Masters to the Mustangs. I just like the straight... I like the scratch plate shape. I like the simple little bridge. The bridge on a Mustang's a bit big and, you know, unsightly.
But you're a bit big and unsightly. Yeah.
Congratulations, Joe. Thanks, you won it.
So I did. So I won it. So I don't think I showed you
in a
guys...
raffle.
Well, yeah. So I don't think I showed you guys the picture of how it was delivered to me. But
was it by a stork?
No, it was. It was delivered to me.
He's looking his
via
just
Royal
to
Mail.
What he's up to.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm going to show
Royal
you the
Mail.
Via Royal Mail, and the guitar came in a black plastic bag.
yeah. I'll tell you the story.
Not
in a minute,
in a case that was then just had some. Like brown paper over it, but that was the
what,
I'm
no
showing
padding.
The boys. I'm showing the boys except for Matt.
I love it.
But
I
yeah,
love
no
it.
No padding. So the guitar was just in a bin liner.
Well, it literally didn't have any bubble wrap around it or anything.
Oh no, there was like a cautionary layer of bubble wrap. In fairness,
I wonder if you got it from the same bloke that I got my Rickenbacker 4000 from, because that also came with a sliver of bubble wrap wrapped in a bin bag with a bit of brown paper like round it, so you could attach like the something to write the shipping address on.
See, I did the opposite, and I sent a pedal to Latvia the other day, and I wrapped it so well. Amy went, this looks like a drugs package. And lo and behold, it got caught in customs for 2.5 weeks.
Of course, guitar pedals are the real drugs.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a habit.
Top off the back panel, put your stash in there. Anyway, how much did you pay for your Rickenbacker 4000?
Oh, we've talked about this too much.
No, but
you know how painful this is.
No,
and
I know.
You're bringing it up again.
I'm just asking how much you paid for it. For it to be delivered in that sort of state,
it was not a lot of money.
Right, okay.
It was about £600.
Oh, that's nothing. Yeah. Well, this, yeah. Again, this was delivered. This cost me £400. So I got £400, which is pretty good. You get like a good condition, 70s Music Master bass. There, they're going for upwards of £1,000. You know, that's for a good condition one. This was not a good condition one. It was which I knew, obviously. I didn't quite know the extent of it, I think, when I purchased it, but it was it's black with a black plate, and on the listing the guy had said it's been repainted black at some point, but it had the black scratch plate. And I was like, well, the only Music Master from the 70s that had a black plate was the black one. All the others had a white plate.
Yeah.
So I was like, so I don't think this has been repainted. I think this is a black one. What he actually meant is someone has taken, by the sort of thickness and texture of the brush strokes, what looks like nail varnish to any areas that had obvious where the paint had worn away, and they'd caked that in some cases poured it, because there would like dry drip marks.
I'm just gonna liberally splash this on across here.
Yeah, which is fine. And you know, the tuners, like one of the tuners doesn't really work. I mean, you can loosen the string, you can't really tighten it.
Right.
Like, you can,
so
if you
can only down tune.
Yeah,
and once you've down tuned, that's it, you can never go up again.
You can get back up if you use both hands to sort of wrench it.
That is often a problem when you don't, you know, you need to use both hands.
Yeah.
But like playing guitar, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Also, I am actually currently on eBay right now bidding on the Squier Vista Series Music Master basses.
Don't say. Joe. You might
no,
miss out.
There is 1 minute and 32 seconds left.
People are listening live.
On the podcast.
Like me.
If you look this item up and bid me out. Anyway.
I'm me out on it.
Bid me out.
That's what they say.
Well, look, yes.
How are you going to win it?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's unlikely. There have been 18 bids so far, which would suggest that there are a lot of other interested parties. And I'm kind of, it's at £255, which is very reasonable for a Vista Squier. They go for like £450.
Yeah.
But I did just buy the 77, so I don't really have the money for this. So
I sort of do. I'm going to put in a bid of £256.
Well, yeah, there are 50 seconds yet, so I imagine one of those other bidders is there in the background.
This
ready,
would be great radio. Let's just count it down and see what the bids happen.
Well, this is excellent sentence structure so far. So should I throw any
I've
more
come
than
to stand next to Joe.
You are now in my microphone, yeah.
255. This update's live, right?
Yeah, this is,
I haven't used eBay since like 2004, so I'm not really sure.
Exactly, yes.
There's better places now. So.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, Gumtree, Craigslist.
Gumtree's fantastic. I do like a bit of
26 seconds left and it's still on 255.
Do you think I should increase my bid?
I think you should. 450 quid.
What should I say?
£1,000.
259. Let's say 259.
259.
I don't
done
have
it,
259.
You must bid at least 260.
No, I don't want to do that. Someone will outbid me. I don't really want this.
It's definitely
10
not
seconds.
Go
9. 8. 7.
Go to 26.
Do it. 261.
No, I don't have any money. Oh, God. I don't want to win this. Oh, no.
261.
No.
Oh. It's paused. You won this lottery!
Oh, I don't have the money for that at all.
Oh, that's okay. Good.
Well, that's exactly why you should not have done it on the podcast.
Well, there you go, listeners. You'll be in about
Joe,
a week's time. You'll see a Squier Music Master bass.
So this is, you know how like in Monopoly when you win something but you can't afford it, and you have to start auctioning it off to people. Can we do that, Joe? I'll give you a fiver for that. And then it would have only cost you 250.
I mean, you think these bases
I tell you what, I tell you what, I'll give you 150 quid for it.
Joe, you should have saved your money and bought the Bad Bats Maru bass, which is definitely the best bass that Squier have made.
What is the Bad Bats Maru bass?
It's the Hello Kitty bass.
Oh, yes.
Hello Kitty character.
It was black, wasn't it? With a black chicken-like creature on it.
Definitely a better bass. There's one on Reverb right now, £162. So you could have saved yourself £100.
Very reasonable.
How come the Hello Kitty stuff has gone up in value, but the lesser-known character on the lesser known instrument has not. Outrageous.
Really weird, that one.
Yeah. Well, I did. I actually thought about buying a Bronco bass recently and doing it like a big sort of, you know, the Squire Broncos thing.
Mod
go
mode.
For no, yeah.
Are you suggesting mod mode?
I was suggesting a mod mode.
Careful.
We got an email about
mod mode.
I know
we did.
Did we?
Someone being like, please do mod mode.
I love it. I'm going to put a filter on the Guitar Nerds inbox that just anything that says mod mode goes straight into the
bin. We should definitely do it. We should definitely buy the Squire Hello Kitty Strat for 320 quid.
Definitely not. Definitely
I cannot
not.
Believe how expensive that stuff is now.
Yeah, they've really shot up.
I think it's people like
value.
Us, unfortunately, who just think it'd be Quirksters. Really cool to own a...
I think we're going to have to change our colour soon.
Because people keep ripping us off in
it's
videos
not even,
and that.
It's not even niche anymore. It's just like the standard colour that
but
everything comes
in. What I like
is
in. That we were the first ones.
Yeah, yeah. We were
what would
first.
Be next? If we can't do pink.
Uh-huh. Well, Burgundy Mist.
Okay, I thought we were having a serious conversation.
No, what are you talking about?
Joe, what are you talking
about?
Do
you guys genuinely not like Burgundy?
No, one of the worst colours.
Like you.
How can you like Shell Pink and not
it's great.
Like...
Shell Pink makes a statement. Burgundy Mist means that you're an
mauve.
Old, boring old grandma.
No, mauve. So do you not like the colour of the Dimension C?
No.
What?
That's not. That is not Burgundy
Mist. And that's definitely
that's
also not Burgundy.
Do you mean
that's
the,
purple?
It's mauve.
It's purple.
It's mauve.
The TC Third Dimension. Is that what
the TC Third Dimension. Yeah, I meant the pedal that's based on the TC Third Dimension, yeah. that's what I meant.
Get Matty in trouble there.
I totally ignored that. I was like, someone just mentioned something and I just didn't pick up on it. And I was like, oh, Jay's mentioning an inferior product. That's why.
Well, classic. There you go. So wonderful. I just want another bass, guys.
Just add it to the pile.
We were talking about all the basses I own. I have too many.
Yes.
If we did a video of like a rig rundown of your house, would it be like that video of Yngwie Malmsteen where they go to a studio and he's like, oh, this is my collection of like 50 Strats, and picks one up and just literally like throws it back into the pile. He's like, yeah, scallop this one myself.
I will probably do some weird trust. Actually, I was speaking to Matt.
Scallop the fretboard.
Yeah, why not? Everyone needs a scallop base. Work for Billy Sheehan. Anyway, I was speaking to Matt Oram from Fidelity Guitars, and he's going to cut me a new plate and maybe stick a couple of new knobs on the Music Master for me as well, which will be incredibly.
So you're going to do the routing as well for the extra pickup that I assume you're going to put in there.
Why am I going to put an extra pickup in?
Got to have a mud bucker in the neck, surely.
That is true. I was actually genuinely thinking about that. Do you know? You know there was
Matt. Can you get Joe a GK5?
I've got one.
Oh,
I do
you
have
do.
One. I just have one, like in a box somewhere. I don't know why. I think
so. Did you talk about when you went to that shop the other day on the podcast?
Which one?
The shopping.
No, I didn't because I don't. Wanna...
No. You don't need to name names or anything. But Mark was saying that he went to a shop and it was just like
a lot of gear.
There was a lot of gear, and the guy seemed kind of reluctant to sell any of it because it was all secondhand gear.
So let me clear up this. I didn't particularly
clear
to him, having heard other people's testimonials about
it,
and read. So there's a Google review that basically says went in there to buy like a couple of knobs, and then we spent 2 hours looking for them, found them, and then the guy didn't want to sell them to me. That sort of thing.
Basically,
is that classic?
Basically, that's going to be you, Joe.
Right.
That's going to be you in about 10 years when, you know, Emma has left you for someone handsome and successful, plays in like a pop prog band as opposed to a jazz prog band.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not in a jazz prog band. I'm in a prog rock band.
I
it's
thought
so different.
Prog rock is like
prog
rush.
Sort of jazz, isn't it?
No.
It's quite like
prog
jazz.
Goes in two directions. It goes rock or it goes jazz. The jazz is the rubbish one and the rock is the good one.
What about like... prog jazz rock.
Don't know about that one. It's okay. A bit of a
that's what polymath comes off as.
How would you ever for a second think there is anything even fractionally jazzy about what I do?
Yeah, you've got a bit
how
of jazz in you.
You play like weird chords, that's jazz.
There is no jazz.
You're playing weird timings, that's jazz.
That's not jazz. That's prog.
The music sounds really bad. That's probably
jazz.
What? Wait, what are you upset about there?
You saying that jazz sounds bad.
Oh, okay, not me saying that polymath sounds bad.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, the purpose of my band is to be as pretentious as possible.
You know what else does that?
What?
Jazz!
No. Jazz is earthy. It's about proper music. Anyway, Mark, you've been checking out a new pedal brand
this week. I
have,
and you'll have to forgive me, because I might actually pronounce the brand name wrong, but I want to say it's Demi Dash.
Demi Dash.
D-E-M-E-D-A-S-H pedals. They are a company from Canada who are making some cool stuff. I don't even know how I stumbled upon this. I think it was a demo on Instagram, maybe, of the T120 Videotape Echo, which is a digital delay that is kind of based on the sound that you'd get from the degradation on like a VHS.
Yeah, cool. That's I'd buy it want. For the graphics alone.
They look amazing. Look, so the pedal itself looks like a kind of, you know, when you get a VHS tape in one of those like cardboard sleeves and it has the little triangle bit cut out of the side.
Yeah.
That's what the pedal looks like.
Yeah. I've only got speed on VHS. I don't know what other ones look like.
they've got a kind of, what's that pedal? Digital Mind Analog Heart. What's that brand?
Chase Bliss.
Chase Bliss. They've got a bit of a Chase Blissy vibe about them.
Definitely going after that. But yeah, this is like, yeah, it's got that real kind of worn out tape vibe. I just really liked it. I think as something that's a bit different to what Chase Bliss are doing, it seemed like a cool option. The only downside is...
What prices are we looking at?
Let me just have a look. T120 Videotape Echo. I think the price was about 220 USDs.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's not ridiculous these days. That's kind of what these high-end pedals cost. But the waiting list is pretty different to other brands in that the wait list is roughly 7 to 9 months. He does say it could be quicker, but yeah, there seems to be a long wait list at the moment. He's saying I build pedals in bi-weekly in batches of 10 to 20 units. So if you imagine, like, he's building 10 to 20, he's basically building about 10 a week,
right?
Somewhere between 5 and 10 a week, sorry, and his wait list is 7 to 9 months. So he seems to be getting through them. They seem to be pretty popular.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm into it. They do some other pedals as well. So they've got the T120 Videotape, the 112 Plus Drive Channel, which seems like a pretty basic drive.
It's got a decent spread of controls on it, that drive.
Right, and bizarrely, it's got an internal voltage boost that takes up to 32 volts.
Yeah,
why not?
So I'm guessing like loads of headroom.
Yeah, you can't touch that with bare hands.
No,
you cannot touch this. And their other pedal is the Retro Harmonic, an optical panning harmonic tremolo. So pretty similar to some other stuff that we've talked about recently and something we're about to talk about. It's a nice harmonic trem by the looks of things. I didn't listen to the demo on this one. I need to. But it's got tons and tons of variations. So you've got like all the different subdivisions. You've got a real kind of in-depth ratio control, like 7 different shapes for the trem. Six different shapes for the trem. And you can also have a panning or harmonic mode as well.
I wonder, because by the looks of things, there are 4 lights across the bottom of the pedal. And I wonder if that shows you the position of the pan.
Or does it like bounce across as the trem's kind of going like in
that's basically what I said, but that's fine.
No, I didn't mean like between left and right. I meant like the wave shape of the trem rather than the pan.
Okay. So yeah, it looks like
unbelievable.
It looks great though. It looks really cool. It looks very cool. I'm into that a lot.
So anyway, I just thought I'd shout that company out because, like I said, I stumbled across one of their demos on Insta and it looked and sounded very, very good indeed.
Very cool indeed.
Also, on the Retro Harmonic, the Demi Dash logo is in the Sega font, which is really cool.
Sega.
I tell you what, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I count 7 different typefaces on that.
Yes.
Which normally is a big no-no for me.
You don't,
I'm not into multiple typeface. I don't know what the plural of typefaces is. I assume it's
typefaces.
Okay. But this looks fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
It's very cool indeed.
And as we all know, looks
good. It will be
half
good.
The taste is in the looks.
I need to listen to the other ones because I was very impressed. I need to listen to the other ones because the T120 was very impressive indeed.
Hmm, very cool. Speaking of looks, Jay Cross, you went to.
Speaking of feces, Jay.
Well, thanks.
You went to see some music this week.
I did. I went to a couple of shows this weekend, which was fun. Don't often go to more than one, you know. Why would you?
Yeah, at the same time.
There's loads of music at home on the internet.
Mm.
But I went to two shows.
Make music yourself. Get your pots and pans out.
That's right. Bang your wooden spoon on the radiator.
Exactly.
And yell out your window at your neighbours.
Yeah. Or drink half a beer and then you can...
Well, clearly not.
Can't even play that.
That was good. Anyway, so the most important thing that I went to do this weekend was I went to see the band The Scatterlights in Lewis this weekend, who are a like original ska band.
Right.
They formed in 1964.
Ooh.
And they were celebrating their 55th anniversary as a band.
Blimey.
They only have two original members because the rest of them are dead. But the and only one of them was on tour with them. And she only did about half the set.
Right.
But she is like, she is in like her mid to late 70s. So, you know, absolutely.
No excuse.
No excuse. Okay, sorry, Matt. I'll see if I can let her know next time.
Yeah, please.
But no, they were fantastic. So the Scatterlights, their like big song is "The Guns of Navarone," which is a song you will know.
Right.
But they started in 64. Did I say 64 or 65?
Sure.
They started in 64, and they originally like were only a band for a really short period of time, and then they split up, and they stopped being the Scatterlights, and they just spent a lot of time being. They spent maybe the next 10, 15 years being backing bands for people. Uh-huh. So most of the kind of rocksteady and reggae and ska stuff that came out of Jamaica at the time, they were often the backing band. They were kind of like the Motown band, but for that era. So right. Like, they played guitar. They were the backing band for like Prince Buster, and did it for Bob Marley for a little while when he wasn't doing the Wailers. Did loads and loads of stuff. And then... they got back together in the 70s, I think, and have basically been a band ever since.
So, Stratocasters?
Telly.
Telly?
Of course, Telly.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is Telly? I don't really know much about ska.
Telly.
Is a Telly a ska guitar?
Yeah,
is it?
Definitely.
I thought a Strat would be a
ska. I mean,
ska
just think
guitar.
About the noise, I mean, you know.
I guess
Bob
so.
Marley played a Les Paul. So.
Yeah, Bob Marley did play a Les Paul, that is weird. Fair.
When I think about upstrumming, I think of Stratocasters, that sort of
thing. Oh,
but
no,
I think,
but that's,
I think
that's
a
thing.
Funky sort of thing, isn't it?
I don't think that's random. I think that's more the difference between like reggae and ska. And yeah. I think in general, reggae is on the downstroke and
laid back.
And okay. Ska is on the upstroke.
Right.
Absolutely. It's on the offbeat. But yeah, they were fantastic. They were really, really good. I mean, you know, it's kind of a little bit bittersweet because, you know, they were on tour and they were like, oh, this song, they were like, this song goes out to the legend of our band. We wouldn't be here without him. Don Drummond, who is this like famous trombone player. But he died in like... Sorry, I need to swore there. He died in 1969. Do you know what I mean? Like, ooh. That's a long time ago. But yeah, they were fantastic. They were really, really good. And Doreen Schaefer, who is the original singer, was amazing. She was so good. Like, considering she's in her mid-70s and still touring... It was it was amazing. It was really, really good.
Oh, wonderful.
Really good. I had a really good time.
What sort of what sort of amps were the guitarists using?
I don't know. I couldn't see. I was stood at the back.
Always, yeah.
Pods.
Fair enough. Yeah.
What did you say?
Pods.
Probably pods. Line 6 pods.
Classic 90s.
I think the bass player was using I think it was a Mark bass.
Oh, God. Really?
I think so.
Why?
Because they're light and he's old.
Ugh, fine. Yeah.
I mean, I do... But they were really good. But yeah, I couldn't really see what they were playing, to be honest with you. I wasn't a big venue. Right. There was probably only, I don't know, 300 people there.
And
or
you are quite tall.
I'm quite tall, which is why I stood at the back, because I can still see.
Consider it.
That's right.
My favourite thing about this whole segment in the podcast has been just me staring at Joe's attempt to write the word Scatterlights in the podcast.
Yeah, I didn't know how to spell that.
S-C-A-T-E-L-I-G-H-T-S.
The Skate Lights.
That's what I'm running with. That's what I'm going
no,
with.
No, it's unsurprisingly, the first three letters
right.
are the word scar. S-K-A. It's not S-C-A.
You idiot.
Honestly.
And then it's... T A and then lights, L I T E S.
I need to get Grammarly. Anyway, we should have a look at what's in our mailbag this week.
Mailbag.
So this week we received something. We received a whole bunch of stuff. A massive box of things from Copper Sound Effects, which I was very, very happy about.
Is this a surprise?
So this, well, they had emailed me and been like, hey, we're sending you a load of stuff. And I was like, how do you know my address? But no, I gave them my address. But they...
a bit weird.
But yeah, they sent us a whole box of stuff, including four gifts, one for each of us, which were the new copper
frankincense, myrrh, the other one that I can't remember.
Gold.
And another
How
one.
Did you forget gold?
Oh, it's been a long time. Yeah. It's 2019 years.
Anyway, so they sent us some gifts, one for each of us, four of them.
And that might be our best ever gag. I'll just hold up. We need to stop.
That was not a good gag.
That might have been the best thing that we've ever done.
Also, yeah. You do this a lot whenever you've told a joke.
I'm proud of that one.
Okay. Anyway, so the first thing in the box was a set of four, one for each of us. These Relic Shell Pink Guitar Nerds logo. Embossed mini pedal size.
Screen printed. Implies they were stamped.
Yeah, stamped. Fine. Mini pedal sized flashlights.
Flashlights. Okay.
So the idea being, so it's in a mini pedal chassis, and the on off switch is like a little mini toggle, and it has our logo on it, Relic Shell Pink, really cool. So it's a little light for your pedal board for, you know, when you've got a setup in the dark. It's really convenient. Something you could even pop a bit of Velcro on if you've got a little space on your board and have it down there, and just pop it off when you need to.
Sorry, what?
Just pop it off when you need to, you know, check your settings and stuff. But I thought it was lovely. It's a new thing that they've added to their website. And I noticed that Blake over at Tone Mob got a load recently. Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. Some other podcast.
Their website? Are they on MySpace?
Probably not. Yeah, probably MySpace, something okay. like that. Probably have to just write letters. Send him off.
Write letters. Yeah. What, like he's in prison?
Just mail him. Yeah, why not? Probably is.
Okay.
You should see him. Probably is. But yeah, so he's got some recently made up as well with a Tone Mob logo on. But they sent us these gorgeous Guitar Nerds coloured relict little lights. And I thought it was a lovely little thing. And
I thought, what
a great little thing that they've added to their website. A really interesting way to sort of make
use
of
up
old.
Those chassis. Yeah. And when you were a child... did mm-hmm. your parents ever do that thing with your gloves where they attach them by elastic and they thread them through your coat so that you don't lose your gloves?
No.
Just me? Just me? I'm sure that's something that happens.
I mean, I know that you drop things a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like a thing that people do for kids.
What?
Sure.
They're like, they sew a piece of elastic.
Look, Where are you going with this?
What I'm saying is the wingspan of a human, a child,
yeah.
They get that length
the
of elastic.
Wingspan.
Yeah, arm span, I guess. We don't have wings, do we? We've got arms. Unless you've been drinking Red Bull, which sponsors this week's episode. No. So basically, like when I was a kid, my mum would... sew in to my gloves a piece of elastic, so and then thread it through my coat, so that if I dropped my gloves, it like they just would dangle there. What I think they should do is they should make a guitar strap with a retractable dangly bit where your flashlight can go, so that if you need to mess around with your pedals, it's just there attached to your guitar strap by a dangly bit.
Okay.
I prefer Joe's idea of velcroing it to your pedal board.
Yeah.
And I think I might actually do that.
You'll lose it. If it's not elasticated to you, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
What, in my house where I don't take, where I don't go anywhere?
Yeah, okay, maybe you won't lose it. Okay, fair enough.
Well, none of this, like a super cool little addition, I thought, and a lovely thing to get sent through. But they also sent us through one of their, one of the new Copper Sound pedals, Loma Prieta.
Sure, let's go with that.
Go on, yeah, how do you want me to say that?
Loma Prieta, yeah.
Loma Prieta, which is their new harmonic tremolo. Which they sent through. So we've had a bit of a butcher's at that to them. We love a good tremolo. We're massive fans recently of the Zeppelin Design Labs.
Yeah. What was it actually called? I've completely forgotten what it was called now.
But
yeah, sure. Zeppelin Design something. I'll look it up.
Zeppelin Design Labs was the
Quaverato.
Quaverato.
Yeah, like the crisps.
Yeah, very good trem.
Like the crisps.
This is very much on a similar vibe in that it's, you know, it's kind of like nice kind of like harmonic trim.
Well, it's a double foot pedal with a tap tempo, which makes it
this has got the grit control, right?
It does.
Yes. Inbuilt feedback distortion.
It does. And it sounds pretty good. It's like a solid kind of, I wouldn't use this as a standalone drive, let's put it that way, but
yeah,
it does kind of like add some character to the pedal. Personally though, when we were playing it, I actually preferred when that was pretty much all the way off and the trem kind of really shone from there. Yeah,
I liked it when it was on a touch. I thought it certainly added something to it. Now there were presets, there are shiftable presets as to the type of tremolo you're running anyway, so they do like a there's just the standard setting, and then there's like you can have it set on tap tempo, you can have it set on lo-fi, you can have it set on distortion. And I thought when the distortion function was on, the grit control kind of worked a bit better because it didn't sound as much sort of in the middle of nowhere. All your tremolo details and stuff were all sort of a bit fuzzy.
I guess the other advantage is you get a perceived volume drop when you use tremolo because you're going obviously up and down in volume. So a lot of people are like, oh, I haven't got enough. You know, I'm losing signal every time I get it put it on. So it's like, you know, having the grit control on there can, you know, boost up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize that the second switch, the tap tempo, it can also be used as a momentary as well.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's good. Because I asked that question and you said, and no, said, don't no. be stupid. Yeah. Who on earth would ever need that feature, you
that's,
idiot,
that's
Jay?
Not what I said. But it also has, you can also shift between all the wave shapes as well, which is really cool. And then there's you can have it either set as standard or as a harmonic tremolo itself via a little flick switch on the top. So it's a super, it's kind of a Swiss Army knife tremolo. I've never been that au fait with all the different types of tremolo. I know that the ones on a Vox are the ones I like the sound of.
Okay. On a what sort of Vox?
Well, like on an AC-15.
It's like a bias tremolo.
Yeah, sure.
This is the problem. He doesn't know if that's right or not.
So that's the one where it's physically pushing and pulling volume power from the valves, basically.
Yeah. Right.
Or you can have like a normal trem, like a TR2, which is like up and down in volume.
Okay.
Or a harmonic trem.
And
which
what's
is,
a harmonic trem?
I think harmonic trem pulls a little bit more of the pitch into it as well.
Harmonic trem is more to do with the swapping of frequencies. So it pulls the lows down and pushes the highs up, and the highs down and lows up.
Generally,
I think
the effect that I tend to find comes out of that is that you get that kind of almost like pitch modulation as well.
Vibrato.
As well. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Much more like vibrato.
Right.
That's my favourite, and that's why that I like one. The Quaverato, because
yes,
that very much had that sound. And so does this. This sounded pretty nice as well. Like I said, I preferred it with the grit sounds off, actually. I prefer a kind of cleaner trem. But yeah, both, you know, definitely up there, would be worth comparing to a Quaverato as well.
Yeah.
I put on a band called Loma Prieta once twice.
It was a earthquake.
In California. Yeah. Do you know where it was based?
No.
At Loma Prieta.
Ah,
yes.
Right.
I put on this band, Loma Prieta, once or twice or three times? A couple of times.
Did they all use this pedal?
They did, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, they didn't use anything else. Oh, it was just
this
that.
This is actually a signature model.
Yes. Only one person could listen at any one time because all of the pedals were plugged into one headphone amp.
Right.
So you had to take it in turns.
What they actually did was they had two of these each.
All right. This has got... No, it's gone.
They had two of these each, and they set them in perfect opposite for the trem, so it actually just sounded
just
like
heard nothing.
A clean it was totally flat. It was like the pedals weren't on because they were counteracting each
Fantastic.
Other
yeah that's good
great.
Band
is that enough
great
of a
that's
gag?
Brilliant gag guys so really good
we've done well
we're good gonna... good hardcore
when you're ready to pop the question the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Band. Very good.
Wonderful.
Band.
Okay. Right. Right. We're going to do some news.
Hardcore.
So first up, Matt Knight, talk to me about Friedman, everyone's favourite amp company.
Everyone's?
On the phone?
Wait a second. Second favourite amp company. Yeah, Friedman have obviously been making some fantastic amps for a lot of fantastic players. But the big problem that most people have had is they are too big. They are usually 100 watts, and most people can't gig or perform with such amp. So one of their most popular ones, which is the JJ100, which is the Jerry Cantrell Signature, they have finally moved it down into a mini version, the JJ20 or the JJ Junior, which is effectively the same two-channel EL-powered amplifier, but maxes out at 20 watts.
How fantastic.
So you get everything from like a kind of really kind of, they put like an AC30 style clean up to much more of that sort of complex harmonic distortion like Marshall. But what you've also got is you've got a built-in load box, so you can use an XLR straight out for recording.
Oh, so they've included the load box that they've just marketed as a separate piece as well.
No, because the one that they just, the Mic No More, is actually a speaker through, which takes a tap out. So you still have to go into a speaker. It's not a load box, where this one has a full load box in it. They actually did show this very briefly at NAMM, and it's very, very cool. They're not much bigger. I guess they're the same size as... I'm trying to think what else. They're kind of like the width of a Blues Junior, I guess. Not much bigger than that. They're pretty small. And they're actually doing a combo version as well, which is quite cool. It's a 1x12 combo.
Ooh, that is exciting.
Yeah, but I think the main thing with this is it's designed to take pedals really well because Jerry Cantrell uses a lot of pedals. It's got a really transparent buffered effects loop, so you can use all your sort of modulation and delay-based effects. But you've got a really sort of rocking gain channel on there as well. So I think if you want something that's kind of got that sort of really fat distortion sound but cleans up really well, this is actually a really good choice. I can't see anything on a price.
No,
but
I can't find anything on a price either.
I did ask at NAMM, and they said it would be about 1,800 euros.
Oh, blimey. So it's still sort of like the top end of
For the head again, or for the combo?
For the head.
Okay. Oh, crikey.
Well, but then again, if you think the JJ100, I mean, that's like 3,300,
I
think.
That's a lot. Friedman are still a super boutique company.
Yeah,
they've
of course.
Become such a household name that you sort of, well, I sort of forget sometimes when you then see the price point. It's like, oh, Christ, that's still a massive chunk of money. And especially when it's like, when you talk about mini size 20 watt heads or 112 combos, I want that to be affordable because that's being used for small shows.
You want to pay for £383 or whatever
those,
the Tiny Terror used to cost.
Yeah.
But I think this is the thing. I think, you know, they're bringing... You see, every time I see, like, a Friedman, like a full-size one, they're always in, like, some pro rack, and they're going out with, you know, this. Obviously, they've got the Butzlax, which is the Mastodon one. And you're like, yeah, amazing. You know, what's his name? Chris Shiflett's got 9 for Foo Fighters. And you're like, oh, amazing. Yeah, never going to play one. They're too expensive.
Nine. Sorry, I thought you slipped into German for a sec.
God, what's with the terrible jokes?
Have you been on this podcast before?
No. Not last week, anyway. Everything I've... Oh,
God. Nine more! <That's> better.
Oh, fair enough. So anyway, that's the JJ Jr. I think this could be a real winner if you want something that does a lot of drive and has a really good clean channel on it. For actually sub 2000, that's not kind of like a Boogie is the only thing I'm thinking that's similar to that. Like,
well, it's
the
Boogie pricing.
Not well.
It is it? Or am I just getting the wrong end of the stick?
The Mini 25. What's the new Mark 5 25? Is around the same price, if not a little bit more. Right.
But that feels reasonable price. That feels to me like what they're doing here, because you know, if you want a top end Boogie, if you want a Mark V, or if you want a Jewel Rec or whatever, you want something like that, it's going to be $3,000 or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and Boogie do that stuff that's cut down. They do the Mark V 25, for example, which has always been kind of the budget's not the right word, but kind of like slimmed down version. And that feels like what Freeburn are doing. You know, if you want the big proper stuff, you can get it. But if you want something that's smaller and, you know, cheap is maybe not the right word, but like, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Not as expensive.
What do you think? What do you think is the right price to pay for a
50p.
A decent 20 watt amp head matte night?
I mean, I would have said somewhere between 12 and 1600.
Fair enough, Jake.
But depending on what you want, I mean, but bear in mind, Freedman do actually make amps that are £1,200 in the head form. They obviously make the Dirty Shirley Mini and the Runt 20, which is actually, the Runt 20 comes out 24.9 2 channel, but this one's a little bit more complex, I guess you would say. Yeah. But the full size one, I've just checked, is 3599.
Woof. Ouch.
So it'll probably, if the pricing from NAMM is the same, it will come in about half price.
Blimey. Mark Packham.
Hello there.
Talk to me about Keeley. Keeley have got some new stuff.
But they've got one new stuff, yes. This is the pedal that I'm about to talk about. The DDR, the Drive Delay Reverb. The idea behind this brand new pedal from Keeley, it's a double foot switched stomp box that is kind of purporting to be your go-to box for any gig. So DDR stands for Drive Delay Reverb. The plan
DDR?
Yeah. Dance Dance Revolution.
Deutschland Democratic Republic.
Yep, the Dance Dance Revolution.
It's just named after East Germany.
There was a lot of DDR going on there. There's a lot of Dance Dance Revolution.
In East Germany?
Yeah, that's how the wall came down. They had a big Dance Dance Revolution. And it...
So this does it have?
Not where I was expecting this.
Drive delay and reverb. Does it have an effects?
DDR drive delay.
Joe trying to like steer this into a.
It does not have an effects loop. It is just. But then it's drive delay and reverb.
But what about the space for modulation that comes in between drives and?
I don't know if you heard me, but
Mark Packham, I need to correct you. It does have an effects loop.
Does it? Okay.
Yes, it has an insert channel.
Yes.
So it has one stereo jack on the side.
That is my fault.
You can go TRS to dual mono jack, and it will sit in between the drive.
Wonderful. So this actually is a complete solution then.
Yeah. So you can, as Matt says, there is an effect. So I'm just reading it now. And yes, you could put anything else in the chain. But as far as I understand, you can't use the delay and reverb together.
It's a toggle. You're switching between. Right. So you've always got the drive, which is on a blend, which is quite... Oh, no, the blend's on the delay. So the drive is just a simple drive level and tone.
Exactly. Three controls for that. And there's also two styles for the drive as well. You get... what do they call them?
Is it going to be like flat and then mid-scoop?
Crunch or lead. Crunch gives you a gritty British tube combo sound. Lead style gives you warm and dark mid-pushed overdrive. And then on the other side, you've got either delay or reverb. And you've got... blend to blend it in, a decay and then a time, and then you've got two voicings on those as well, vintage or modern. So it's essentially you've got what they're calling the drive channel and then the wet channel, which is your delay or reverb. As Matt said, there is an effects loop on there as well. They are $179, which seems affordable.
That's very affordable when you consider you're getting three effects for the price of one, and it's going to be to sort of the extreme high quality that comes comes out of
totally.
Keighley.
And they're available now.
Well, they went on sale 5 days ago, which if Keighley's back catalogue is anything to go for, it will. In fact, it is out of stock.
Right.
So they are now out of stock.
I was just about to make a joke saying that they haven't been on sale for 5 minutes, are probably already sold out, and they actually have.
Everyone absolutely loves everything that
this stuff's
man
great.
Makes.
This stuff's all great.
It's so funny, though, because I remember, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, they were like a pedal mod company.
Yeah.
And like it's in the last sort of decade, they've just been like absolutely knocking it out of the park. Like every pedal is just brilliant, and they've really kind of mastered this like multi pedal, as it were, because they had the Monterey, which was the fuzz and modulation. They had the Luma, which was that sort of shoegazy fuzz reverb.
Yep.
I think it's just loads of like great pedals in one for perfect small pedal chords. I think that's what
even
really
I thought
about.
that synth one was such an incredible take on a synth pedal. It was such a It made everything actually sound like a synthesizer rather than a guitar doing a sort of synth effect.
Do you know, it was funny because I'm borrowing that at the moment. The first time I plugged it in, I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty synthy. Sort of left it to one side. And I was like, I ended up bidding on something on eBay and then winning it without realizing. And I bought an old Electro-Harmonix micro synth. And I bought an Electro-Harmonix micro synth. And I actually went, do you know what? I think the synth one sounds better and it's more compact.
Really?
And it just,
you're talking about
signal tone.
Well, I'm not sure if the Electro-Harmonix micro synth isn't a synth pedal. It's just a drive. It's just like a heavily gated drive.
Well, no, it's got square wave and it's got an octaver in it. But the synth one just seems to have a little bit more. I think it's just a little bit more instantly fun. I think if you know the Electro-Harmonix one, and I think it's just you've got to dial it in a little bit. The other problem is I forget how breaky the old big box sheet metal boxes can be if you step on them slightly too hard.
Oh, I was in Brighton Electric Studio the other night, and they're using a Electro-Harmonix microsynth as a doorstop in the one of the big old sheet ones.
That's fantastic.
It's being used as the doorstop to keep airflow in the back room. Great.
Nice.
Fine.
That's
perfect.
Really funny. Probably all it's actually can do these days. Yeah. Probably the best use for it.
Yeah.
Sorry to go back to Keighley, but I was just having a look on their website, and I noticed that the Caverns is currently on sale. They've got it on sale.
What's the Caverns?
It's which the delay, the really expand. It's the delay reverb. It's a fantastic name because it's like proper onomatopoeic. It's very onomatopoeic. The sound of the word. Maybe that's not the right thing. It's very descriptive though. Caverns, because it's delay
it's
and
cavernous.
Echo in it. It's cavernous.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did we get here?
It's on sale on the Keighley website. It's on sale. So it's fantastic. Really, really quality pedal. On sale from $249 down to $179 out of stock. just don't put them on sale. If they sell out like that, just don't put them on
sale.
You
know, they released three new pedals at NAMM, which was they released the synth one and a couple of others. And I got in touch with them. I was like, would you have any demo pieces you could send us for the Gear of the Year review? And they were like, we can send you the synth one, but we've sold out of everything else, so we don't have
it. It's mad. Yeah. It's mad. And like, but it's all, because they did the same thing. They did those, what did they call them? They're like budget pedals. Not budget pedals, but these ones,
the
X series. Yeah, series. Yeah. And they only made like 20 of each.
Yeah.
And they were like,
I'm sure
40.
It was more than 20.
There wasn't.
No, there weren't. Right. It was like 20. It was like 20, 25 of each. They're basically a stripped back version.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, I do remember.
Oh, in fact, these are in stock. That's weird. There we go.
J Cross, tell me about Rushing for Gold.
Joe Perry has released a new Les Paul.
Which one is Joe Perry?
He's the singer of Journey.
He's the one with the moustache, the really strange moustache.
Joe's Googling this frantically now. To see
Joe Perry is in Aerosmith.
He's in Aerosmith,
he's
you idiot.
He's the Aerosmith one.
Stupid idiot.
Who are you?
I don't
who
know.
Are you getting him confused with?
Linda all Perry from
Matthew
Perry.
Blondes.
Like all of those sort of hairy people, they all go into one for me, like that dude who was in John Bovey and the...
John...
Bon Jovi.
John Bovey. I was like, is this some like, weird blues band I've ever heard before?
No, John Bovey.
John Phil X?
No, the guy before Phil X, the guy who I met.
You met he Phil X?
I've met Phil you X, met yeah. Phil X. I played with Phil X.
Yeah.
But I met the guy before.
Richie Sambora.
Yeah. You know, him and he's very Joe Perry.
I would say that he's quite similar to Joe Perry, yeah, in fairness to Branton.
They all sort of, you know, all of those guys are all kind of one thing to me.
Okay, good. Now that we've alienated the other 50% of the audience, mm-hmm. Joe Perry has released a new Gibson Les Paul.
He was born in 1950.
Okay, that makes him 69, dude.
His name's not even Joe. It's Anthony.
Anthony Perry.
What's your real name?
Hmm?
You're not Joe either.
Yes, I am.
Aye?
Yeah, sure.
I always thought you weren't.
No?
All right, sure.
Okay.
I'm not giving people my real name.
Okay.
Tony Perry is a much better name, more rock and roll name, I would say.
T-Pez.
than Joe Perry. Anyway, Joe Perry has released a new Les Paul. It is gold top, no scratch plate, and a Floyd Rose.
Ugh,
and
that,
it's
that was
access,
almost good.
Ugh. And it's like an access, so and it's and it's like a bit relict as
so
well.
What does access mean? Access means that it's thinner and that it has the contoured heel.
It means it's got the contoured heel, yeah.
Right.
You know what? I've played this.
Have you?
Yes, because when I went to Nashville in 2015, it was hanging in their office. When I went for a trip with work, this guitar has been in the works for ages.
Right. Okay. Well,
because I remember seeing it, and it was it was signed by Joe Perry, and it had Prototype 1 written on the back of it. And I tell you what, it was wicked. It was such a great guitar to play.
The relicking actually looks excellent, which is not often something you say about Gibson relic jobs.
Not since Tom Murphy was the geezer who did all the really amazing aging.
Is he
still there?
Yeah, he doesn't. I think he doesn't actually work for Gibson.
Right. Okay.
He's like
freelance guitar relicer.
But they send stuff to him, and he relics it outside.
He
of
He just
the,
drags it along
the
on the
office.
Back of his pickup, and then gives it back to them.
He signs every
he
one.
Does, yeah.
A secret TM.
He does.
TM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does he, on the body?
But it's like it's not a signature. It's like a type of lacquer cracking. It's really like just really
like a compass out of his like pencil case and scratches it in.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
It like when I because I remember Matty telling me that he signs each one, and I was like, that is outrageous.
That is amazing.
That is outrageously disgusting that he does that. And then I saw it and I thought, actually, no, that looks amazing. It's really subtle.
So it's different on everyone.
Well, it is, but it's done with the lacquer checking. And so
it's goodness.
It's always in the same place, right. But you'd have to know what you were looking for.
Oh, that is
but
wonderful.
But it's a good way. It's a good way of confirming it is one of his.
Confirming whether you have a Tim or not.
Tom.
Tune.
Oh, right, Tim. But yeah, the problem for me on this is 498T in the bridge, which is a pickup I've never really liked.
Oh.
I'm down with that. The only thing that I don't like about this, I would even play it with the like access heel and stuff. I don't care about that. The trim. It's not a Floyd.
It's a Wilkinson.
Yeah,
Now I'm in.
No.
I'm in.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. It's not a Floyd. I thought it was a
Wilkinson trim.
Big old chunky neck as well, 59 neck, which is unusual for a guitar with a contoured heel.
I'm into everything about this. Single pickup, gold top's cool.
Yeah.
I like when Les Pauls have only got two controls
in
that kind of like diagonal from the pickup thing. Just get rid of the trem. It's awful.
How much is this?
Not cheap.
It depends on what you want.
Right.
There are 25...
Well, I want the Joe Perry one.
Okay. There are 25 signed and 125 non-signed.
Right. Did he get a sore wrist?
Yes. Yeah, I could only do 25 of them. Spent the rest of the time on the trem. It just says 4299.
Right.
So
okay, cool.
I assume the signed ones are probably 42999.
Funnily enough, for substantially less money, a guitar brand we were talking about last week, 42nd Street Guitars, actually do a single Humbucker in the Bridge, Gold Top.
Really?
Hardtail, Les Paul.
We were talking about them today, weren't
we? It's my dream guitar. Oh,
yeah, so Les good.
Paul, custom shop Les Paul with one pair.
I messaged them the other day. I can't remember the woman who runs it, Angela. She's called like Guitar Angel. I think she used to have a relicking and repairs business before she did this. But,
right.
The more I look at 42nd Street guitars, the more I'm like, man, I might have to get one of these. These are great. You posted us a link to one.
We were talking about it in our kind of private group about 42nd Street guitars because a really good one came up on Reverb. It was just a Les Paul Junior, basically, but it looked mega. But what I was going to say is I saw one of 42nd Street's guitars in the flesh when I was in a shop in Bath the other day, Vintage and Rare in Bath. They had a thin line telly, like a bound thin line telly. In fact, I think we even talked about that guitar when we talked about these guitars on the podcast. And I didn't get a chance to like take it down and play it, but the overall build quality looked fantastic just from it hanging up. And I'm totally sold. I think, and that Les Paul Junior that's on Reverb is like not a lot of money at all. It's like 800 quid or something.
Yeah, yeah, $895.
Yeah, and. Yeah, it's kind of tempting. Like, really nice relic on it, looks really well built. Obviously, can't speak to how it sounds, but for, like, sub 900 quid for a British-built, like, spot-on Les Paul Junior, that seems like a very good deal indeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, their single pickup Les Paul is, again, I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the Le Capitan, which looks absolutely incredible. It is
wonderful.
Pretty much, looks-wise... exactly that Joe Perry guitar, but without the stupid trem on it.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
What a cool guitar. Speaking of single cuts, let me deftly segue into talking about the brand new Shergold Provocateurs. Now, these were actually announced at what were they announced at?
Birmingham Guitar Show.
They were announced there in February. So we did speak about them on the podcast back then, but they have sort of finally got round to actually putting out a proper press release. I don't understand why but it's worth sort of going over them again now that we've got more than just sort of a couple of pictures from the website. So this is the second body shape from the reimagination of Shergold from Patrick James Eggle after the first one, which was the
Masquerader.
I always say Marauder, but no,
that's a different guitar,
the Masquerader, which was very cool. But the Masquerader was obviously an old Shergold shape, which this one possibly is as well. I actually haven't checked whether or not it is, but this is kind of a single cut. It still has a beveled edge, which was which kind of gives it its own unique look, and a kind of diagonal swooping, very 70s-esque oversized scratch plate that covers up both horns. But this one, unlike the previous model, is available in just two pickup configurations, and they are different again from the Masquerader. So you can get a P90 in the neck with a humbucker in the bridge, or you can get a pair of humbuckers. So the double humbucker model features two Seymour Duncan 59 humbuckers, whereas you get a Pearly Gates in the bridge and a Seymour Duncan P90. It doesn't specify what P90 in the neck on the other one. I think these look great finishes. They come in a lovely sort of mahogany through finish, a nice vintage white, and a kind of
it's Lake Placid blue,
yeah,
basically.
It's kind of a dull Lake Placid blue, like gorgeous finishes. Again, they've gone with the cool thing about the Shergolds was always the neck. Obviously on the Masqueraders you've got that lovely one piece rosewood neck with the hand laid aluminium.
What are the necks on these?
Now it's ebony necks, and I think it's
ebony boards.
Ebony board, and I think a maple neck on these. I think is the dealio, but it's definitely something less troublesome than a one piece rosewood neck.
Which
is a shame because I did think that was like my favourite thing about.
They felt amazing, but obviously you know CITES and all the regulation
of
around
course.
That.
And these still look fantastic. And the aluminium, those line inlays are just what a touch. They look gorgeous. The logo on the stamp logo on the headstock. I love the way the headstock kind of leans back because it's a three aside. It leans back, but not at a weird angle like a Gibson. Oh, I really like these. These look like a properly great guitar. And on the Shergold website, all the artist shots or sort of the press shots for this guitar with Ansar Watch You From Afar.
Both of the
guys from Ansar Watch You From Afar playing them. So yeah, wicked
just
bands.
On that colour, I know I said Lake Placid Blue, it's actually solid Battleship Grey.
Yes, that was a colour that they had in the Masqueraders. I think it looks fantastic. It looks really, really nice. They've mixed it up with a sort of parchment plate on this one, whereas I think that colour was available on the Masquerader, but I think with an aluminium plate or something like that, which I think made the colour look a bit different. I'm really into it. It's definitely my favourite finish in the range. But great guitars. They're less than £900.
They're quite a lot less. So the P90 and humbucker one is 829, and the double humbucker is 809.
Yeah. Wow. All right. They're super affordable, and you know they're really well put together because we know that it's Patrick Eggle putting these guitars together, and like just a fantastic, you know, just from head to toe, from start to finish, everything about them, attention to detail. They look gorgeous. It's conventional and classic. It looks retro, but with enough sort of modern sensibilities to please everyone. And it looks different enough that if you're looking for something with a bit of an edge, if you don't just want another sort of Les Paul or Les Paul Jr. or something.
It's mahogany neck.
It's a mahogany neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Even better. Oh, right. Even better. Okay. That's what I want. Even better.
If you know, if someone was looking at a Les Paul Studio or something and wanted something a bit different, these would be an ideal kind of alternative.
They remind me of the Sonics.
Yeah, totally.
That's kind of like the look.
Yeah, or the Gibson, I want to say Marauder, but that's not right, is it?
Gibson Sonics is what you're...
The Sonics, yeah, but there's the other one as well. Yeah, Marauder. Gibson Marauder.
Okay. See, that I knew that, which is why I mentioned them earlier.
They very much look like those kind of weird 70s and early 80s Gibson guitars.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're cool. Again, you know, for someone who's looking like at Les Paul Studio or one of the lower end new Gibson models, this would make a nice alternative.
Yes, very cool indeed. Anyway, that pretty much brings us up to time for this week's podcast. We're going to go continue over on the Patreon episode of the podcast, where we've got a little bit more news to do, and then we'll chat about some other guff as well, no doubt.
Undersell it.
Well, no, it's going to be very good. I don't know.
We're talking about the top 10 most iconic Telecasters of all time.
Yeah, we are going to talk about the top 10 most iconic Telecasters of all time. I also want to talk
player
about...
Player telly, thin line telly, custom...
Joe Strummer
custom
telly.
Custom shop telly.
You know, I don't think we're going to get time telly to talk Deluxe. About it on this week's Patreon
Avril
episode.
Avril Lavigne Telecaster.
No. Don't be too specific.
The Avril Lavigne one did get an honourable mention, actually.
Blackguard telly. That's five. That's all of them.
But yeah, I was. I don't think we'll get time to talk about it on this week's Patreon. But I've been getting really into like Soviet era guitars and the history behind all of that at the moment. Oh, it's very cool. You know that fellow at the Fender Custom Shop's responsible for a lot of the early Soviet guitars. Do you know that?
Yuri Shishkov.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. How random is that?
That's like, very interesting. Yeah,
when you say, when you say Soviet era,
yeah,
what does that mean?
That means that they were
maybe made in Russia,
yeah,
or in the Soviet. Okay,
yeah. So the gist is because it was the Soviet Union at the time when electric guitars were starting to be produced over there.
Yeah.
They were obviously state-funded organizations. Right, okay. So the places making the guitars, they weren't just making guitars. They would be servicing electronics for the nation. So parts were being used for everything from, you know, kitchen appliances to guitars. And often if a part ran out, they would have to make do, which is why there was never any solid sort of single standard line in a lot of the early Soviet guitars. They were just trying to work out how to do stuff. And it's really interesting to see how these people had to sort of teach themselves, you know, how to make guitars from a real position of scratch. And
that's the genius thing about Yuri Shishkov, is that he taught himself from illegally imported guitar magazines. He built his first guitar based off a picture of Eric Clapton playing a Strat.
So amazing.
Let's save this. We'll do a Patreon special on this, because I think that actually does sound cool.
Yeah, it does.
For
sound
once,
cool.
Something you've suggested sounds actually interesting.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. That's very lovely. Anyway, yes, we're going to go over and do that. So if you want to join us on the Patreon, you can for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you all of that, plus you you get access to our Patreon special episodes, and $10 a month makes you one of our executive producers and gets your name read out in one breath by me. We've had a whopping additional 4 10-tier backers
yes
this week, so I'm going to be very close to sort of not being able to say this. Jay, what are you doing?
Give me your beer that's got beer in it.
Oh, right. You want to blow sounds.
Oh, you're going to... I see. Okay. I was wondering why you're collecting up the beer bottles. And now okay. I see you're going to make it stop.
All right, here we are.
That's great. I don't have to do anything. I'm off. See ya.
Jim Walters, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Foyles, Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Aaron Royce, Chris, Jack Cutmore, Rob Cousins, Rob Cole, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Ramadan, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hands, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Henry James Baker, Juan Correa, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Kempsey, Gray, Bartholomew Martin, Cliff Scott Kennedy, Christopher Lawson, Hans Hans, Robert Smith, Eric Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Norwich, Duncan Watson, Ed Mundy, Steve Murray, DJ McGrath, Michael McGray, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Brad Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Answers, Paul Goring, Will Graham, Moo Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Kane, Sean Arbo, Christopher Walnut, Robertson.
I was kind of wondering who was going to run out of breath first.
It was Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's getting tougher, isn't it? Four
it
new
is
people.
Getting tougher. That was close. That was close. Anyway, you can, of course, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Guitar Nerds. Join us on Facebook at the... what is the Facebook?
Facebook.com/group/GuitarNerdsForum
Or, you know, check us out on YouTube by just searching Guitar Nerds or going to Guitar Nerds videos. I really
you can just
this.
Go to youtube.com/GuitarNerds
Yeah, sure. Vision.
Why not? Anyway, we'll see real everyone on the Patreon.
Farewell.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.